know Sean since the summer. It was right as he was finishing eighth grade. The summer between his eighth grade and ninth grade year is when I started doing youth ministry at Heritage. And I got to see him grow all through high school. And then as he went off to college, to Liberty University, where he graduated with his degree in biblical studies. And even as he was away at college, he was still, whenever he was home, involved in the youth ministry, involved in helping and in chaperoning and with us during the summer times when he was able to. And it was on one such trip as we took our annual high school mission trip up to Pittsburgh. And Sean was with me and he was helping me. And we had a great talk one night. And he told me how he really felt that God was calling him to ministry and to youth ministry. And in God's ways, and we know God's ways are perfect, as I moved out of the youth ministry, it all worked out where Sean was able to move right in to the youth ministry and becoming the youth pastor at Heritage Baptist Church. And that was one thing that made it very easy for me to leave, knowing that it was going to be in such good hands of someone I admire very much. He really is a great youth pastor, and his specialty really is just in relationships. He's great with relationships with the young people that come there. He loves the Word. He's a good, godly man. I consider it my honor to call him my friend, and I'm excited that he gets to come and share the Word here today. So, Sean, come on up and share with us.
He's the one that's been with me through the ministry call, through leading the youth at Heritage, and to kind of piggyback off Sam's story, he didn't tell you, but before he left Heritage, like 6 months before he told anyone else, he looked at me and Mary and said, "You guys are going to take over the ministry for me." And I just said, "Sam, I can't do that. This has been your ministry for years. You know, this is where God called you." And he said, "I know God's telling me that you're going to do this." And for me, I didn't believe that, but it came to fruition, and just a testimony of Sam's faith and stepping out of that and just to where God has called him now. So I'm just excited to be able to come today, and it's always an honor, a privilege to just stand before people and just share God's word with them and just tell you guys basically a little bit about what God's been putting on my own heart. Every time I get the chance, the opportunity to come and speak, it's just from a very personal place where God's been speaking in my own life. So we're going to be in John 15 today. So if you have your Bibles and you'd like to turn with me, we're in John 15. We're going to read 1 through 11. And I'm actually reading from the ESV, just to preface that. And it says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, then it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." So with that, I want to make 3 points today, and I'll get into them now. So actually, let's first stop and just pray. We've read God's word, and we're going to go into his message and ask God to open our hearts. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this time, God, that we just get to come, and we've already sung songs of praise, and just here to worship you, God, on this wonderful day that you have given us. We just ask that you open our hearts and our minds to your word and what will be said, God, that you lead us, and that this word will be encouraging, and if it needs to be a word of convicting, that your Holy Spirit would convict us. We thank you for all you do for us. We thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross and be raised again so that we may have new life. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, I want to start off by talking about, it says, I am the true vine. And if you look back in John 14:6, he's just reiterating, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the one vine. There is nothing else out there that is true that will get you to heaven. So, as we get into three things, the first thing I want to kind of talk about, the first point I want to make is the title of my sermon is Abide. Abiding, meaning to remain, stay constant, continue on. So, to stay following Jesus, to stay in His presence, to set aside time when we're reading God's Word, we're in a time of worship. With that, like I said, this is a very personal thing for me, and I feel like God has been speaking this directly into my heart for the last 2 or 3 months, and it's just this thing of, Sean, are you abiding? Are you truly abiding? And what does that look like for you? And so often I would just open my Bible, read a few verses. I'm done for the day, God. I've checked that off. It's just, I'll see you tomorrow. And God calls us to this deep relationship. He wants us to be in prayer when we wake up in the morning and when we go to bed and during our day as we go to work. He wants us to be with Him through all of our steps. And we were doing some readings with our youth, and a verse that really came to my attention was kind of when this was really, God was really putting this on my heart a few months ago, is Deuteronomy 6:6-9. And this is right after he tells him to love the Lord your God with all your heart. And he said, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts, impress them on your children, talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. It's like God calls us to be with Him morning, evening, night. Write them on our hands, bind them on our foreheads, write them on our door frames. He calls us to just be with Him. And that really just stuck out to me. It's like, am I doing that? Am I spending that time abiding in Jesus? Am I spending my entire day with Him? Something might go wrong during my day. Am I spending time in prayer about that? Why is this, you know, I just want to lift up prayer to God. Thank you for this. Or God, I don't know why this is happening, but calm me. Or give me your peace in this time. Give me the words to say. It's like, am I abiding throughout my day? And with my abiding, that is like God's called me to do some different things, things I haven't done before. And if you know me well enough, Sam knows, and my wife and sister will tell you straight up, I hate to wake up in the morning. I'll stay up and I don't like to go to bed and I don't like to wake up in the morning. I'm just not a morning person. Some of you might be like that as well. And for the longest time, it was so hard to just get out the bed. And how many times before I got out the bed did I check Facebook? How did I check Instagram? Did I check all these things? But God calls me, the first thing I should be doing is looking at His Word, is reading, getting in the Word. And you wonder why our day is just full of commotion and all these things are happening and you don't pray about it. And you wonder why. It's because I didn't start my day off with Him. I tell you, I'm an evening person. I'd wait till the evening to read God's Word. And not that that's a bad thing, but for me, it was just like, start your day off with me. Don't wait till the evening to do that. And so I have been living into that. I haven't been doing it every day, but I've been trying with God's help. And, you know, some days I read it when I get to work. Some days I open it up as soon as I wake up, and I've been trying to do that. That's the first thing I want to look to. And as believers, that's what we want to wake our day up with. We're Christians. We follow God's Word. He's given it to us. That should be the main path to Jesus. We need to look at that to know that's what points us back to Him all the time. And so we need to start our day off with that. And just being me through starting my day off, being able to see the fruits of that. And I'll get into that as we continue on. But also, in my own time of abiding, I like to At night, I might play a video game or something. But more recently, it's been me putting on a sermon just while I play a video game, turn the TV completely down, and I'm just listening to a sermon, or I'm listening to praise worship while I'm doing that. Or while I'm in the car, making sure that I'm listening to praise music, or there's a sermon on I could be listening to. But through that, God's been speaking to me through these different sermons of just being with Him, or listening to praise worship, just that being a time of worship and being in God's presence. And there's a guy I like to listen to. His name is Matty Montgomery, actually. And he used to be in a heavy metal band. If you know me, you know I like that. You know, he was in a Christian heavy metal band, and he got to tour the entire world. And every time he went up there on stage, he would tell them, the reason we do all this is because we're believers and we're going to tell you about Jesus. So he would go into a 5-minute kind of gospel presentation and message before they did their set. And they toured for about 8 years, and he did this every time. And God was calling the band to kind of do their own thing, separate, and go on. And he was praying about, God, what are you calling me to next? What's going to be next? And he just felt like God was saying to him, you know, when you got up there and preached my word to those people, and those people came up to you afterwards and said, hey, what a great job you did. I really was touched by that. And he said he felt like God was saying, you did that without me. And what interesting words. He said, you did that without me. You did that for your own glory. You did that without me. And how many times do we do stuff for God without Him? We didn't set aside the time. We didn't pray about it. We didn't set aside the time to read God's word before we went to it. We just said, I did this in your name. I just did it for you, God. I did it for you, and I hope you're proud of me. I hope you're glorified in that. But we didn't do it with Him. And it really spoke into my life, and it brought up the passage of Matthew 7, 21 through 23. And I have it here for us, and I want to read it. And it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. And how that spoke into my life, it's just like we do things as a church. We do a lot of good things. But it's like, are we going with God? Are we doing those things in His name just to say we did them and to take all the glory and the praise? Or we did them with Him? We started our day off abiding in Him. We started our day off in prayer. We started those events we were going to do. We started those in prayer. We were doing the work behind the scenes. And God was doing the harvest out there with us. So, with that said, how many times do we do those things without Him? And it's like, I don't want to go through my life and say, God, look at all the stuff I did. And He says, well, at the end of your life, all those works and stuff, they amount to nothing. You know, He says only Jesus saves us. Only that perfection of Jesus' life and His death on the cross is what gets us to heaven. And it really, like, think about how much good things these people did. It said they cast out demons. They prophesied, and they did many mighty works in His name. They did a lot of good things, but when they got to heaven, they didn't have that relationship. They didn't have that relationship with God. And I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to get to heaven and say, God, look at all this stuff I did. And He's like, I didn't know you. I want to truly know Him. I want to have that deep relationship with God. So, what abiding doesn't look like. I kind of hinted at this already. It said abiding doesn't look like reading God's word to check off a box, or praying once in the morning to check off a box. Hey, God, I'll see you tomorrow. This is all good for the day. This is all I got today. I'll see you tomorrow. It's that continued speaking with God and being in worship throughout our day. It's not coming to church once a week for a few hours. How often we go to church and we say, God did that, and I'm just going to do whatever I like the rest of the week. And God doesn't call us to that. He wants that deep relationship with Him. And it kind of brought an analogy to my mind. If we eat once a week, what will our physical bodies look like? They're going to look dead. If we eat once a week on Sundays, or once a week or twice a week on Wednesdays, our bodies are going to look physically dead if we did that after many, many months of this. And if we look at our spiritual lives, if we eat once a week or twice a week or for a second during the day and don't forget about it anymore, what do our spiritual lives look like? They're going to look the same way. And that's not what I want for my life. I want to have that deep, intimate relationship with God that He calls me to. We're talking a lot about branches of the vine and this analogy that Jesus gave us when we're in a relationship with Him. And I thought myself about picking a flower. How many times we pick a flower? What do we do with that flower? We put it in some water in a vase, and it looks pretty in our house, right? And when we think about our relationship with Jesus, if we cut that flower off, if we're not remaining in Him, if we're that branch has been cut off and we're not in Him, then what does it look like for us? We're going to wither up and die eventually. That flower put in there for a little while, but eventually that flower is going to die if we're not remaining in Him. And I don't want that for my own life, and I hope you guys don't want that either. It's like when we're in Him, if we're remaining in Him, if we're reading His Word, that's where, you know, we're going to be in that relationship with Him. We're going to be close to Him, and we're going to be doing His will. And through abiding, that's how God aligns our heart with His heart, you know? And I'm going to wrap up on some of that later, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. But I want to go quickly into my next point of pruning. God talks about every branch that does not produce fruit, He cuts off, He prunes it. And I think about my own house. My parents bought a house like 25 years ago, and they had this nice grapevine in the backyard. And I love going out there as a kid and picking the grapes off of and eating it, throw the seeds at my sisters. Just having a good time with it. And in August, we always had a blast with that. And over the years, the grapevine didn't get pruned. Our parents got busy for whatever reason, and the grapevine got massive. And I'm talking about 5 or 6 years worth of growth. And this thing was huge. It was growing up into another tree, and it was big. But if you walked around that grapevine in August, there was nothing on it. There was no fruit on it because it hadn't been pruned back. And I did a little researching into pruning grapevines and stuff, and I had a good time with it. But one thing I learned off that is when you prune grapevines, the fruit comes off the new wood, like a year-old wood. That's what produces the fruit. And in our lives, are we allowing God to prune us? There are things in our life that are separating us from Him, are things that are keeping us from following Him, things that are keeping us from abiding in Him. What are they? Are we going to allow God to prune those? And when I think about it, I think about David. He says, "Search me and know me. Search me, God, know me. If there's anything in me that's separating from me from You, prune that off. Cut that off, God. I know it might hurt, but it's going to be worth it because I want to produce fruit. I want to produce those huge clusters of grapes. You think about when you go to the store and you get those huge clusters of grapes. I don't want to produce one or two because I haven't been pruned back. And I was struggling to think of a story to go along with pruning in my own life. And last night God gave me that story, and I was happy about it. I was like, yes, God. And this is something that happened fairly recently, actually. And it was about our church. We had a nice 11 o'clock service, and we had an early morning service. And my parents went to the early morning service, and I always get up and I'd go with them as well. And through that, people came up and said, "I think we need to tailor that service for a time." And me, my parents go to that church. My dad couldn't go to the later service because he worked on Sundays. And it was just like, man, I just don't feel like this is right, God. Why is this coming into fruition? And the service got tailored. We're not doing it anymore. And I remember riding home and I said, "God, why are You doing this?" And He said, "Don't you realize that I've already known this was going to happen for a while?" And He's like, "I got it. Don't worry about it." And looking back at it, I see that the reason for the prune. I'll tell you the finish of the story. So out of that, we kind of birthed a earlier morning Sunday school class. And I didn't have the opportunity to go to Sunday school class myself because we had two services and I had to be with the youth during the 10 o'clock. So I didn't have that opportunity. And out of that, pretty much all the early service people are now coming into this Sunday school class. And it's been one of the best things that we have probably ever done in the last 5 years is just getting rid of that. And God pruned that off because the relationships that were developed have developed through the people that have coming. Because through an early service, we didn't get the opportunity to share. We didn't get the opportunity to talk about our day. And they didn't have the opportunity to come at 10 o'clock to the Sunday school. And I didn't have a chance to go. So through that pruning, God has produced a lot of fruit, I can tell. I even went before I came today because I didn't want to miss it. I wanted to be a part of that. I wanted them to be there praying for me and praying for our time together. And just watching God say, we need to prune that area. That area needs to be pruned so I can produce more fruit off of it. And how awesome that is. And sometimes we look and say that pruning is hard. Pruning, God, when you take away things from our life, or you take things out of our life that need to be taken out, it feels hard, it's difficult, but God says, I will produce fruit off of the new growth. And it's like, how many things have we been holding on to that we haven't given to God? And saying, God, you know, this is my area of my life that I hold on to. This is what I want to do. You can have the rest of it. I'll hold on to this. It's like, what area of our life is setting us back, holding us back from producing that fruit? And we want to produce those huge clusters of grapes. So, as we continue on, the last kind of point I want to make is of the fruit. I've alluded to it a lot, the fruit, of producing fruit. And I love that it says, it doesn't say we produce little fruit or we produce some fruit. It said he wants us to produce much fruit, lots of fruit. So, when I think of fruit, the first thing I think of is the fruits of the Spirit and fruits of the flesh. And so they're found in Galatians 5, 16 through 26. And if I could find it here, I'll read it. I had to blow it up because my Bible's a little small. So I want to read that for us today. It says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." And that's from Galatians 5, 16 through 26. And this has also been a prayer in my life more recently. It's, God, produce those fruits in me. God, produce those fruits of the Spirit in me, so those around me, that's what they see. They don't see those fruits of the flesh. And how many times when we're not abiding, do we fall back and start producing some of those things? I want to be producing all of these fruits of the Spirit. That's what people see in me. And with this, more recently, when I've abided, God has produced these fruits in me. And part of that is just being more loving, being more patient at work. I also work at the Woodland full time. So the youth is just kind of, I do that on, that's my part time. But that's my passion. But with that, it's waking up in the morning. I'm going to abide in you, God. And through the day, God's going to produce those fruits in me. And part of that is speaking life, speaking God's word to coworkers. And just the two people I get to work with on a daily basis, they're both open to hearing. And it's been awesome because I get to just tell them what God's been doing in my own life. I get to tell them that I get to come and preach the word today. And they'll listen to them and be like, oh, okay, that's pretty cool. And they'll be like, what are you talking about? And I got to share something with them about what I was talking about. So it's just been awesome. And just being able to share that with them. And one of the things I wanted to say is, how can we expect for God to work in the lives around us when we aren't letting Him work in ours? And it's like, we want people to be saved. We want people to come to know Jesus. But they see our lives and they don't see, if they don't see any of these fruits, then what's the point? You know, we serve a risen Savior. We serve the King of the universe, the one that created it all. And it's like, He wants to produce these fruits in us. And these people are looking. These people are searching. They're looking for the truth. And it's like, when I look at that person, they say they're a Christian, but I don't see it. I don't see anything different than me. You know, what's so special about that? You know? And with that, you know, like I said, we serve the King of it all, the one who changed our hearts. We should be abiding in Him. This stuff should be fruit in our lives. We should be sharing that with them and not just never speaking on it. Hey, what's God done in your life? Well, I can tell you what God's done in my life because I've been in His Word. I've been following after Him. This stuff is evident. You know, let me tell you about what He's done for me. And He does so much. And this has kind of been one of my prayers I was alluding to earlier. It's like, God, I want to see the things You're doing in this world. I want to be a part of it. Produce those fruits. I want to be a part of what You're doing so that when people look at me, when people look at us, we look totally different. We don't look like old Joe Schmo over there that doesn't know Jesus. We want to look like people that follow after Him. That this truth that we say is real to us. It is, because we know it is. We know what God's done in our lives. And a lot of times, we just get distracted. Sometimes we get distracted and we just get in our own place of safety and we're not following after God and things are okay and we only want God when we want God. And it's like God wants every bit of our day, every day. He wants that deep relationship with us. And it really reminds me, God's always wanted this deep relationship with us. All the way back from Adam. It talks about how God walked with them, came down and walked with them in the coolness of the day. God wanted to be with Israel. His glory was with Israel. Ark of the Covenant, the temple, all of that. Jesus came to earth, resided here, so that we may know Him. Walked a perfect life, went, died on the cross. You know, God's glory was here on earth with us, with the people. But now, we have the Holy Spirit. How intimate can that get? It says that the Holy Spirit indwells believers. That we have Him, that He's going to help us throughout our day. He's the one that's producing this fruit. It's His fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not our fruit. We're producing those fruits of the flesh. We don't want to produce that. But God calls us to this very intimate relationship. He's always called us to this intimate relationship. And He wants to be the first thing we start our day off with. He wants to be praised throughout our day. He wants us to get in the car and just worship Him as we go to work. He wants, when something's up or we just want to thank Him for something, He wants us to pray. He wants us to connect with Him on that daily basis. And I was thinking about this last night. And it was just like, how many times do we get distracted by the things of the world? How many times do we get distracted by our jobs? How many times do we get distracted by our families? And things just, God, sorry, today I don't have time. You know, maybe tomorrow, we'll see. And it's like God wants us to start. He has new mercies for us every day. I tell my youth this probably once a week. I say, like, if you didn't read your Bible last week, you didn't read it yesterday, God's mercies are new every day. Like, this is a new day to start again. Every day He gives that to us. So if you didn't read it, if your day wasn't good, God says, I got new mercies for you. Start again today. Try again. It's like, I want to be in that deep relationship with you. And where does Satan want for us? He wants us to get out of whack. He wants us to distract us. He doesn't want us to be in God's Word. He doesn't want us to start our day off right with Him. You know, He just wants us to go nonchalantly through our days. And it really brought a verse on my heart. And this is one, I really love this verse, and I wanted to read it for you guys. Last night I was kind of reviewing all of this. And it's found in Matthew 6, and it's verse 33. And it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." And all these things, if you look at the passage, it talks about food and clothing and all the things, the necessities of life. And how many times are we seeking after the clothing and the other necessity of life, the work, the money, all of that stuff? We're seeking out that first. How many times are we doing that? And God says, seek first his kingdom. He says, abide first. Follow after me first. Everything else will be given to you. I will make sure that you're taken care of. Don't worry about that. And I probably, some of y'all probably had God come through. It's like God coming through in the clutch. I've seen God come through in the clutch. I've seen it. My wife a few times has lost her job. They've like kind of reworked something at school or something, and they're just saying, we don't have the kids or something with that, and we're not going to offer you a contract next year. And what did God do? He came through in the clutch. One of her other jobs, she's had this happen like 3 times now. I'm not even kidding. This has happened at least 3 times. And God comes through every time. And it's not on my time, because I'm like, God, why don't you just do it tomorrow? Every time he comes through, like the week before her job was supposed to end, she got another one. Every time he just comes through. He comes through in the clutch. He's going to do that for us. He's going to provide for us. And I was listening to this awesome sermon by a guy, and he was talking about, it was similar to this. It was about turning the page. Every day is a new day. And he told this awesome story at the end of it on God's provision. And he said he was a young guy and he was ready to get married. And he'd been dating his girlfriend for a long time. And he had the ring and everything. And the guy, one of his buddies, was like, "Why haven't you proposed?" And he said, "Well, you know, the big thing now is you got to have a massive engagement. It's got to be cool, man. It's got to be Instagram worthy, Facebook worthy. People got to know about it, you know?" And so he said, "I just don't have the money for that. I don't have the money to take her somewhere. I have like $8 to my name, man. I'm an intern at a church. I don't have any money." And the guy said, "Man, I got you." He said, "You want to propose? I got this." He said, "You're flying to L.A. He worked with a church in Australia, Hillsong. He was interning there. And he said, "You're flying to L.A. You just met her family or whatever. They live in Australia. You're going back home, L.A. to New York." He said, "When you get to L.A., he said, I run that town. Don't worry about it. I got you in L.A. And he said, "You get to L.A., you go to this restaurant." And he said, okay, well, let's just do it, man." He said, "I don't know what's going to happen. Let's do it." And so he goes to this restaurant, and he said he sits down and he opens the menu. And he's like, "Oh, my gosh." He said, "I have $8. This stuff is like $60, $70 off plate." He's like, "What is going on here, man?" And I was like, and so he said the waiter comes and taps him. He said, "Man, it's been covered." Said, "The credit card's already been there. Don't worry about it." He said, "Okay, my friend must got me." He said, so then afterwards, he's like, his friend left a note, "Get in the limo." So he gets in the limo. And he's like, "I hope this is my limo. There's a lot of limos here." He gets in the limo, and the driver, he don't know where the guy's going. He's just like, "I don't know where to go." He's like, "Yeah," the driver's like, "I got you. I know where we're supposed to go." And so he drives him up this mountain, I think near the Hollywood sign, something like that, something crazy. And he's just up there, and he's like, "I guess this is where I proposed." So he had to do one thing. He proposed. And he proposed, and he said, then the driver, they got back in the limo, and they drove back to this guy's nice house. And the dude's just sitting there just playing the piano when they walk in, nice reception or whatever. And the guy, he goes over, and he's like, "Man, that was awesome." He's like, "Yeah, I know. Don't worry about it." And he said he talked to him later about it. He said his wife didn't know for a while. But he said he finally had to tell her. And he talked to the guy about the story. He said, "Man, tell me about how you did all that." He's like, "Well, man, it was crazy, but I got it done." He said, "Right before you got there, I ran in there and gave him my credit card and said, 'It's on me.'" And then he said, "I hopped in, I called a taxi, hopped in that, go up to the mountain, lay out a bunch of flowers and candles." And he said, "Here you are coming right behind me." And he said, "I was hanging off the cliff, basically. I didn't know what was going on." He said, "I was hanging off the cliff so you wouldn't see me, because I'd just done that." And he said, "I get back in the taxi, beat you over to my house. I'm sweating bullets because I barely got there and I'm playing the piano." And he was like, think about that with God. If we're seeking after him, he's got us. Don't worry about that stuff. He's got it taken care of. He's like, "I'm working. I'm doing it. You know, it might feel like last minute for you, but it's in my time." He said, "I got it." He said, "I'll take care of those needs. If you're seeking me out, if you're abiding me daily, if you're following me, if you're worshiping me through your day," he's like, "I'll take care of the rest." don't you worry. And I love that story about how that guy was just one step ahead of him, just doing all that stuff for him. And that's how God is in our life. And I say this as I wrap this up. Reading God's Word and being in fellowship with Him, that's how He aligns our heart with His heart. How do we know what He wants for our lives if we're not even reading it? It's like as believers, we need to be in this and we need to know all what it says. So we know what He wants for us. He knows how we need to talk to people, how we need to act with people, all that good stuff. He wants that for us. And He wants to align our heart to His heart. So as we continue and we wrap up, and before I pray, I just want to say, hopefully, that maybe this needed to be encouragement to you. Maybe God's provision needed to be encouragement. Maybe you've been abiding, and you just needed to be encouraged in that to keep going. Don't give up. Stay. Continue on. Or maybe you need to feel convicted. Maybe God's Word convicts us sometimes. And that's okay, too. You know, maybe we need to just pray and say, God, forgive me. I know Your mercy is new every day. I want to start again today. I want to start again tomorrow. Wake me up just ready to read Your Word. Start the day off right before we look at anything else. We just read His Word. So I'm going to pray with us now, and then I think we're going to sing another song, if I am correct. And I just want to say thank you guys for allowing me to be here and just speak what God put on my heart and share that with you guys. And hopefully that's been an encouragement to you as well. So let's pray. Dear Lord, we just thank You for this time together. We just thank You that we can just come and worship You on this wonderful Sunday, God, and that we can just hear from You and hear from Your Word, God. We thank You for that. Help us this week to start again if we need to, or continue on if we need to, God, and know that You're going to provide for us if we're doing that, God, that You'll take care of the rest if we're following after You, that just the difficulties of life and the things that distract us and get in the way, if we're following after You first, God, You got the rest, and we believe it, and we know You will do it, and we thank You for that, God. Thank You for sending Your Son, and thank You for all You do for us. And it's in Jesus' name, amen.